Hello. Happy Sunday evening.
Hello, Faye.
Hello, Faye. Hello, Faye.
We miss you too. We miss you too. It was a very nice thing last Thursday, because Dove played your recording of last week, and then at the end I was like, this is nice, because I didn't really hear it, and then he played a little bit of me, and I was like, oh, there's something wrong in here. Anyway, it was very nice.
Jasmine, did you want
to
say something?
Hi, everyone.
Hello. So again, like I said, happy Sunday evening. We've had a nice day here today, a very relaxing day. We went to church, then went shopping, then went out to eat. We've only been home a very short bit, so about an hour, I think. We've been home a very short bit, but it's nice. It's nice to be here. It's nice to come into Pal Talk and see everyone. And I think we have a very nice topic tonight, depending on your definition of the word nice, I guess.
Yes.
What we're going to be talking about is perceived rejection. At least that's what I'm going to be talking about. I don't know what Laurent's going to talk about.
Nothing. Absolutely not. I'm just going to be observing.
We'll see. But, yeah, it's a topic that that I know that there are at least a couple other people in the room. I know this is a topic that interests them based on conversations that we've had. So I think it'll be a good topic. What I'm going to do first is say our prayer and invite the Holy Spirit to guide us as we discuss perceived rejection.
I'm so glad you mentioned perceived. You know, don't hesitate to repeat perception. I'll always repeat during, like, maybe 15 times during the teaching. It's the first time that I know in advance what I'll be repeating and saying.
Perceived.
No. You're never upset for the reason you think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All. Okay, so I would like to go to the Holy Spirit. And I ask the Holy Spirit to please guide me and Laurent and everyone else in the room tonight as we look at the idea of rejection within the mind. We want to look at this idea very, very honestly, because to look at the idea with anything less than honesty, it doesn't do us any service at all. Please help us to see whatever it is that we need to see and realize whatever it is that we need to realize. And I also want to thank the Holy Spirit for all of his marvelous gifts, including the ones that don't always feel like gifts when they are being delivered, but then later we can look back on them and see the gifts that they were. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. I'm going to be the supporting guy tonight.
Yeah. Funny, I'm feeling like I'm hanging out here alone right now, but maybe that will change.
Of course that'll change.
Okay, good. All right. Well, what I'm going to do then is I'm going to share a file with you. This file has not been posted. One reason is that I just typed it up a few minutes ago, but to be honest, that's not the only reason. The file hasn't been posted because it's what I consider a personal conversation between me and Holy Spirit, and I really feel that to post it without any context around it just didn't make any sense. So it's not anything that I posted, but I did type up for you all tonight in case you want to read along. So here's the link. And the name of the file is Perception of Rejection. So you all can go and get the file. What isn't typed up at all is the question. It starts right off with an answer, and when you read this along with me, if you were to start right at the answer, it seems like you might not even know what Holy Spirit is talking about. And I didn't type up the question for a reason. The question includes a lot of specifics that I didn't feel I needed to share, mainly because, not because they feel private to me, but because there's a discussion of another friend within them, and I don't like talking about other people. So it's that simple. So because I mentioned someone else by name within the question, I've left the question out. And it really doesn't matter what the specifics are when we're looking at the perception of rejection, because we all get to have our own little stories around this idea anyway. So I've left the specifics out. What I will tell you about the specifics is that what was happening is for a few days I had been perceiving rejection, no doubt about that, perceiving rejection. And at first, I think it only seemed to bother me a little, and then it seemed to get bigger and bigger and bigger until my mind was seemingly completely under attack by thoughts that just were no fun at all. And, you know, I tried several different things with these thoughts, and I would get what I would call temporary relief, but then they would come back again. And, of course, one reason they would come back again is because I was really, really believing these thoughts, and so they had to come back again. But last night, there came a point when I had nothing to do. Laurent was taking a nap that time of day. Jasmine was off playing with friends. I had finished all of my work, and I kind of had nothing to do. I was alone, which was very good for me in that moment. And I asked Holy Spirit, what should I do with this time? And I was guided to go read The Way of Mastery. So I did that, but I couldn't read it. I found myself reading sentences over and over and over again. And the reason for that was I had all of these thoughts in my mind about this perceived rejection, which at that point I would have to call rejection because that's what I was believing. I had all these thoughts in my mind about this rejection, and my mind was completely occupied, and I could not read The Way of Mastery. So I sat it aside, and I grabbed my notebook, and I started talking to Holy Spirit about what was going on in my mind, started talking about the feelings that I was feeling, started talking about how trapped I felt within this situation and form. It seemed to be a situation where there was just no way out. Well, you want to talk?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not by myself in this?
No, you're not by yourself. I think it would be very interesting to, now that we have the introduction by Regina, to see that the friend, it's not a friend, it's me. You know, I mean, I'm a friend, but it's me. And I think it's just very important. I was listening to you, and I think actually it's very important to let everybody in on what's happening, because first of all, there's nothing to hide. And then again, you can see how things are working, you know, with how spirit makes everything work, because I really feel that it's spirit underneath all that. Spirit creates, I feel, cracks, you know, creates. Spirit is not always like tapping on the shoulder and saying and you know, and saying nice things. I think that it's been like what, 2-3 weeks now that I've been and I've been sharing that with you, Regina, that I've been noticing with awe, actually, spirit really playing with these two bodies right here, the body of Regina and the body of Laurent, with strings, just like a theater. And sometimes pushing, starting to push a little bit, a button here, a button there. I was like, oh, wow, okay. Getting sometimes closer to some limits, getting closer to some fears, as the way I put it in my own life now, was I always felt that in order to advance in my life, for example, to advance really towards to conquest, you say to conquest, to conquer a limit, a perceived limit that I would have, I would put myself in front of at the edge of a cliff. And at that point, you know, either I had to come up with something extraordinary, or I would continue being the limit. But then I went too far ahead not to do anything. And I felt that Spirit's been doing a little bit of that on and off. You know, we've been given a lot of very, very intense and very deep and profound messages that we've all shared. The four that we received are very, very big. And he said that at the last one, you know, when he was talking about, you know, choose to be happy with a choice to be unhappy, was that message, with a choice to be different, that we're going now at the core of the mind, and we are going one step at a time, little by little, because the effects are going to be great, and you can be expecting now some great effects. And there's no need, actually, we don't need to get, like, super in details about the personal stuff, but, or, you know.
No, we don't.
But
it's not important.
But I just think it's interesting that everybody just knows how that works, in the sense that we cannot advance, you know, and especially in our relationship is a great thing in order to go to get over the limits. First of all, you have to see the limits. And the limits most generally come from things that we're hiding. And the only way to get really to get them in our face is to push the button, to push up to a certain point where we cannot hide anymore. We cannot repress. It needs to go out. And there's a lot of fear involved with that. There's a lot of like hurt and pain and stuff that we've been hiding all our lives, more or less. And it's coming up. The reason I was introducing all this as spirit holding strings is that this is really the dance that spirit, that I realized spirit was doing with the two of us. Because without without facing these. And sometimes you don't, like, as we say in French, you have to break eggs to make an omelet. So it cannot go without breaking the eggs. So sometimes, you know, and most definitely, it's been going up and up and up lately, but on a slow pace, and then it's been most definitely accelerated for the past 4 days.
Yeah, 3 or 4 days.
3 or 4 days. And so we've been living through a pretty tough moments. But always, you know, always I felt, although I was like, I had the same rejection stories. Sometimes it's the other way around, but then to me it works on something like the self-trust and all that. Anyway, I always knew and felt that this was absolutely perfect. What was happening is perfect. Sometimes it was very difficult even to hold hands. It was the case.
I'm laughing because I laugh when things are true.
Yes. But the good thing, we held hand inside of the mind, you know, in that place where we abide, both of us, like, as you like to say, in your stomach, you know, I'm there. And I always knew that the whole thing was perfect. So our button's been pushed a little bit, the one by you or the one by the other. But then we've been going through like a little roller coaster lately. And maybe the peak point was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Okay. And as usual, I would say today was a very sunny day in the country, as you say. It is. Because at some point you're like, you have to say, there's no more game anymore. There's like, okay, this is how I feel. These are the beliefs that I have. I know it's not true, but this is really what I feel. So if I don't say that, I would be lying, etc., etc. And of course, when such a degree of honesty is reached, then we realize that everything is okay. That we passed through the next stage, not knowing at all what tomorrow is going to be like, though. But a lot of hope, a lot of strengthening of for that experience. So the friend is Laurent.
All right. So since he has said that it's him, that I was perceiving rejection from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'll go ahead and read then the question, because I think the question has a lot of stuff in it. It's very honest. But anything that's in my mind, I know, is also in everyone's mind. So I think the honesty will be appreciated from that point of view. Basically, what happened, as I mentioned, I couldn't focus on the way of mastery. So I sat down and I started writing to Spirit. And what at first was happening is I was writing and Spirit was asking me questions so fast that I didn't write down Spirit's questions. So at first, it's just me answering Spirit, and that's what's being written down. So I started off by saying to Spirit, I can't focus on the way of mastery. My mind keeps going back to the idea that I am being rejected by Laurent. And then I heard Spirit say, how do you feel about it? And I said, sad, angry, and I want to attack him. I said, I also feel trapped, like there's no way out. And then Spirit asked me, did I feel like I've been here before in this place of feeling, not with Laurent, but just in other situations in my life? I said, yes, I've been here before. And then Spirit said, well, then can you accept that this is in your mind? And I said, yes, I accept it's in my mind. And then the other part of my mind started jumping up and down and saying, no, it's not, no, it's not. So I had to be honest, and I had to say, but not totally, not totally. Because as I'm writing this, there's a voice jumping up and down saying that there is a reality here. In other words, there's a voice in me that's saying, no, he is rejecting you, and that's the fact. And so I didn't want to deny that voice that was within me. And then Holy Spirit said, okay, but can you accept that reality comes from the mind? And I said, okay, I'll accept that the reality comes from the mind, but what do I do? You know, that's always my question. I always want to know, what do I do? Hmm. And so that was the question. And so the answer that you have, which a few more people have entered the room, so let me just give that link again. The answer that you have starts after I explained the situation, had that little discussion with Holy Spirit, and then asked, what do I do? So here's the Holy Spirit's answer. Start by not wanting to change anything. When you want it to be different than it is, you are creating a strong power around it. I'll just read from this. A strong power around it that keeps it firmly in place. You start by noticing all of your feelings around the situation. Drop from the thoughts to the feelings. And this was a very powerful opening for me because of what was going on in the mind. First of all, my mind was busy. You all know that place where the mind is just so incredibly busy. It was on overdrive, and I was definitely in the mind. I mean, I was right there listening to every thought in the mind. And so even though I know from all of my previous training with Holy Spirit, I know to rest the mind. I know to drop from the thoughts into the feelings. The truth is, it hadn't occurred to me. I was so busy listening to all of the thoughts in my mind, it hadn't occurred to me to do that. So it was something I already knew, but it was a reminder that I definitely needed. When he said, drop from the thoughts to the feelings. It was also very helpful to me when he asked me not to want it different than it was. Again, something I already knew, but I needed that reminder. And I would say that what really kicked in my heart when he reminded me of that was my true desire. That's what I have to say would kick in. When I was wanting things different in form, I was really wanting to feel not rejected at the level of form. So my focus was on the level of form. When Holy Spirit told me to start by not wanting to change anything, that reminded me of what I really wanted. And it reminded me that the form is meaningless except for how the form is being used in order to help me realize my true desire, which is know thyself, realize the truth of what we all are. And so I realized then that by wanting to change the form, my mind was stuck at the level of form. It was really stuck on a desire other than the desire to know thyself. And so by saying, start by not wanting to change anything, with that very first sentence, he shifted me right back as a reminder, this is what you really want. Remember, you don't want anything but to awaken. So everything right now is perfect. Everything is coming to you for that purpose. So you really don't want to change anything. You want it all exactly like it is because you want to awaken. So again, my heart was kind of turned on with that very first sentence. So the opening again. Start by not wanting to change anything. We still have people popping into the room at a pretty rapid pace, so let me give this again. Start by not wanting to change anything. When you want it to be different than it is, you are creating a strong power around it that keeps it firmly in place. You start by noticing all of your feelings around the situation. Drop from the thoughts to the feelings. Really dive into them. Whenever the thoughts are coming at a fast pace, like rapid fire, there are always feelings attached. These feelings can be quite strong, and staying at the level of thought can cover up the feelings. Remember, the thoughts are props or projections. And really what he's saying here, again, all of the thoughts in my mind were what I'll call at the level of story. They were at the level of what seemed to be happening in my perception between me and Laurent. All story-related thoughts. And because they're story-related thoughts, it means they are literally projections. They're not at all in touch with truth. And as long as I continue to listen to these story-related thoughts, I am still projecting blame in my mind somewhere, which means I'm not getting in touch with what's inside of me that I really need to look at. So he's reminding me again that, you know, I need to get away from listening to the thoughts, because the thoughts are actually a form of escape. Or we could call it a form of protection. Mm-hmm. You know, it's protecting me from the pain that maybe the Son of God didn't want to feel, and that's why he created the world. But what Holy Spirit knows and what I know is I don't actually want to be protected from that pain anymore, because I want to awaken. So instead of using the word protection here, he used the word escape, because he's really, again, reminding me of what I really want. He's saying this is escaping from your feelings, which isn't what you want. It's not what you've decided to do. So remember, the thoughts are props or projections. They are literally a part of the escape. They can be useful for a time in helping you to see there is a feeling that needs to be looked at, but the feeling or effect must be examined if the true cause is ever to be realized. Stories of form are never true cause. This is where your line comes in. Do you remember what you said you were going to repeat over and over in this teaching?
Yeah, you're never upset for the reason you think.
yeah, that's what he's saying mm-hmm. here. You're never upset for the reason you think.
But the good thing is that on that path to awakening, we need to uncover what we've been covering up. So in that case, stories are very helpful. Because with the story, because you tend to believe the stories, so this is why here he says, or maybe a little later he says, yeah, but you can use the story, you can use the thoughts. You know, one of them, I mean, here in that paragraph he says, you know,
they're useful for a time.
And a few thoughts can be helpful so that you can see what are the feelings that are associated with that. And you know now enough that all of your problems are always some kind of a form of a judgment of self. All of them. And all fear is just coming from this judgment. So it's all about, but sometimes it is helpful, like for example, to see something, not to hide something anymore. This is why I was realizing with awe that Holy Spirit was playing with us like this, so that we would, both of us, go into our retrieved place in our mind where we do not want to go. Like we call that tranché in French. You know, when you do the war, in the 1418 war, the German and the French, they had like these tranchées, these kind of holes in the trenches. Okay,
yes.
So in order to go back to the trenches with Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. you need the stories mm-hmm. because it's only through the stories and the stories that are really pushing buttons where you feel that if you don't hold up to your denials anymore, you're gonna die or you're gonna panic and panic starts to show up. That's why sometimes holding on to a thought or something is interesting for a little while, but then the gem of that paragraph is drop to the feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Remembering what is the true cause always.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with
the
again,
problem. He's saying that if I keep listening to the thoughts, and keep listening to the story, that really what's happening is I'm believing the story, so I'm thinking I'm upset. You know, because I'm thinking that Laurent is rejecting me. And the truth is, that's not really what's going on here. There's something else that I'm upset about, something else that I need to look at. But if I keep believing that I'm upset because Laurent is rejecting me, I'm believing the story, I'm believing the projection, I'm never going to get down to the true problem and look at it.
And you consider your perception as truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's only perception.
Yeah, absolutely. I do notice someone is asking, what is closer to truth, thoughts or feelings? I've been asked that question many times, and to be honest, I can't answer it. And the only reason I can't answer it is because I never make up answers, and Holy Spirit has never made a comment to me about that. So and I don't like to make up answers, so I'm just going to have to step away from answering the question.
But I would agree with the answer of the author, though, because the feelings are really like Holy Spirit says in NTI Timothy 2, the feelings are really the fruits of the experience of the Son of God.
Well, what Holy Spirit has told me is that thoughts are cause and feelings are effect. But the thoughts that are cause are really way
these,
back,
yes. Yeah, yeah,
way
yeah,
back.
Yeah, absolutely, they're not these.
Yeah,
but they're really like the beliefs, you know, the thoughts/beliefs, which would create an experience. And now, in the domain of the experience, you get the feelings, the hiding from the feeling because we're afraid of feeling panics and feeling fear, and a whole bunch of thought will just spawn from this feeling. So that maybe here we can see two different degrees of thinking, two different degrees of thoughts: the thought that are cause, which are beliefs, you know, judgment. And then all the thoughts that are going around. In that case, going back down is good to, you know, look at the thought, but let them go, rest the thinking mind, and drop into the feelings.
Yeah. Well, the feelings are definitely effects of what I'll call the original thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings are effects of the original thoughts. So you could say in that case, maybe the feelings are closer to the truth. But
remembering that thoughts are as well an experience.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Hearing a thought, when I see a jambalaya of thought in my mind, it is an experience as well.
Yeah,
because it is manifest.
And one thing that Holy Spirit also told us one time is he told us that he used a different word. He used the word ideas. And he said that thoughts are ideas, feelings are ideas, manifested items are ideas. He said that everything is ideas. So he made everything the same. And I kind of like to stick with that as well. Everything is the same. So
yes.
And we're working our way back to a source. But Again, what he's saying in this first paragraph is that when we have these rapid fire thoughts in the mind, the most helpful thing to do at that point is to drop from the mind, from the head, down into the feelings. So for me, that's usually like down into the stomach or down into the chest, sometimes even down into the throat. But it feels like it's a moving from the head to the body and go into experiencing the feelings. Okay. Let me just go ahead reading. After Holy Spirit said this, the next thing that came up for me was, and this is still a true statement, this is still a true statement, I said, I'm afraid I won't feel the true depth of my feelings. Although I have felt some very intense feelings in my lifetime, it seems like the very intense feelings have been very brief experiences that really felt given to me by Holy Spirit. It seems like I would say on my own, as I'm moving through the stories of the world, when I've had broken hearts or whatever, it feels like I don't go into those feelings very deeply. It feels like I have such a strong desire to be happy that I am always, you know, before I was on this path, people would say to me, oh, Regina, you can always find the silver lining in the cloud. Or, Regina, you're so good at making lemonade out of lemons. And that is true. I was able to learn how to be happy very quickly, move through anything very quickly. So when Holy Spirit starts asking me to feel my feelings, the next fear that comes up is, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can drop down into these feelings. I seem to not do that. And so the answer that Holy Spirit said was, you will. Okay, I mean, there was no maybe about it. You will. Mm-hmm. He said, you only have to stop being afraid of your feelings. You still judge your feelings as wrong, and so you don't go into them as much as you could. And this is an absolutely true statement. I mean, although I may have been complimented within the world on my ability to bounce back from things very quickly, be happy very quickly, the truth is that was coming from a judgment that being happy was better than being depressed, despondent, sad, afraid, that those were bad feelings and being happy was a good feeling. There's an element of fear. I didn't want to get lost in those feelings. There was a thought that maybe I would even die in those feelings, that I would cease to exist in those feelings. And happiness was a survival technique for me. So it's very true that I am afraid of those feelings. And so what he's pointing out to my mind is that I just need to stop fearing the feelings. And of course, when Holy Spirit points out anything like that to me, what I know from my years of training with Holy Spirit is to start giving my willingness to that idea. There's no way to make myself stop being afraid of my feelings, but I can start giving my willingness or start willing for not being afraid of my feelings. And as the Son of God, as we know, anything I give my willingness to or anything I will for, experience must follow. So now that a problem has been pointed out to me and I can say, ah, yeah, I see the truth in that, I can now start willing for a change there.
Now, the great thing with his message, because we're so deep in the mind, that this is everything but a specific story. I'm sure that everybody in the room here can just identify totally with that, because here we're really talking about what spawned the first judgment is the hatred of self, and we are so terrified of that hatred of self. Yesterday I was sharing an experience that I had, like actually at the beginning of the week. It started, you know, the experience of the big eye, the eye of the judgment, and the experience of the rage mixed to the terror, you know. So obviously we're going to hide from these feelings, and this is like some kind of a fact. It's
what we're here for, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
from the ego's point of view.
This is why we're here.
From the ego's point of view, it's why we're here.
And that's okay, actually. Yeah. That's okay because we're not stupid. You know, if I'm so much afraid of the fire, I'm not going to jump in the fire. I'm going to do everything possible to build a wall, to forget about the fire, and to do whatever I have to do, and even to make myself seemingly be happy. But that's not the case. And we're all here to see what's up in the depth of the mind and what's up under some covers. You know, we can decover some stuff, but then at some point it gets deeper and deeper, and the power of light is stronger and stronger because the denial is stronger and stronger. So obviously we are all hiding, we are all afraid of our feelings. It is right here. I mean, since I know that when the Holy Spirit shares to you anything, it's like he was speaking directly to me as well. So I know that now in my life, now in my human life, I've been personally always in my head, realizing, I just realized like 3 years ago, that I was really afraid of my own feelings going into my body. For whatever stories in this life happen or didn't happen, I don't think it's very relevant. What's relevant here in the watching of the mind is that I as well found it this way to recycle my guilt, the eye of judgment. yes. It was just one eye. I was actually mentioning the film The Lord of the Ring, because it was a prompt to see that at the same time that I had the experience. And in The Lord of the Ring, there is this great eye, you know, the Eye of Mordor, where the ring has to be brought back there to be destructed where it first started. And this is so much like the path to awakening. I shared that the other day. It's like, and that big eye, I realize in my experience, is that is me. I did that, and that is the judgment of me. In front of that big eye, I'm totally shamed, naked, totally guilty. It's an impossible place to stay in front of that big eye who's judging me constantly and constantly. So then I would project after that all this on everybody. But already the I is a projection, because it's my judgment and then hatred of self. With that, you know, this is the bag that we all carry here if we think we're in the world and if we think we're a body. So we'll all find ways to deal with that. But at some point on the way back now to the eye of Mordor, to the eye of the judgment, to the inner self and all the cause of that, we're going to have to face this judgment. So we're going to have to face layers of denials, of fears, of feelings. And this is where we are here. So it really speaks to all of us.
Mm. Okay, so again, so after asking the Holy Spirit about my fear of diving into the feelings, again, you know, he said that I will, I just need to let go of that fear. And of course, like I said, I understand that that's just a prompt for me to start giving my willingness in that direction. That's really all that I can do. But since I'm the Son of God, that's a very powerful step. The next thing, since Holy Spirit's talking a lot about dropping into feelings, I had been making posts about letting go of judgment. And of course, the Holy Spirit has given us 3 messages recently about letting go of judgment. And so I asked the question then, what about my recent post about letting go of judgment? Because he's not talking here about that same theme. He's talking about just dropping into the feelings. So here's his answer. You are letting go of judgment when you drop from the thoughts to the feelings. You are no longer allowing thoughts to generate feelings through believing them, and you are experiencing without judgment the effects of past beliefs. Now, the best way to explain what he means by this paragraph, I think we've probably all heard the symbol of the pond, you know, just the still pond, and that whenever we believe false thoughts in the mind, whenever we believe judgments in the mind, it's like throwing stones into the pond. And as you know, whenever you throw a stone into a pond, you create ripples. Well, the stones then are the thoughts that we believe, or the judgments that we believe, and the ripples are the feelings or the experiences, the effects that come from that belief. So what he's saying is that whenever we stop believing the beliefs in our mind, stop believing the thoughts in our mind by dropping down, because when we drop down into the feelings, what happens is the mind naturally rests, if we do this right. The mind naturally rests. We go into a near thoughtless state. And so since we go into this near thoughtless state when we drop into the feelings, what's literally happening, if you use the symbol of the pond, is we stop throwing those stones in. When we're up in the thinking mind, listening to all of these thoughts of rejection, all of this seeming evidence of rejection, what we're doing is we're throwing in stone after stone after stone after stone. But when we drop from the mind down into the feelings, we rest the mind and we stop throwing in the stones. So that's what he means when he says, you are no longer allowing thoughts to generate feelings. You're no longer throwing any stones in. And then the next thing he says is, and you are experiencing without judgment the effects of past beliefs. So when you drop down into the feelings and you feel your fear, or you feel your hatred, or your anger, or your sadness, or whatever it is, and you just feel it, you just be with it, what you're doing is you're experiencing the effects of the stones you've thrown in the past, without judging it. So you've really let go of judgment on two different borders. I mean, you've let go of judgment by resting the thinking mind, because it was judging like hell when you were listening to all of those thoughts. Mm-hmm. And sorry, it was judging like H-E double hockey sticks. My daughter just corrected me. It was judging like H-E double hockey sticks when you were up there in the thinking mind. So as soon as you dropped down and started resting, the thinking mind, moved out of judgment. And then by simply accepting your effects, you're also now not judging on another front as well. So there's two fronts that you have just let go of judgment at: the acceptance of feelings and the resting of the mind. So this really is a process of letting go of judgment.
Mm-hmm. And it's especially a very, very very powerful process to stop doubling and tripling the doses of the ego.
Yeah.
And in the last message, I think one of the last messages, like I tend to make the last four messages one big message, because it's so deep and so profound. When Holy Spirit says that, seeing the judgment without judging, from a place of not judging, is a beautiful way to see. But now, be aware that when you do that, you are killing the foundation itself of the world. You're not judging your judgments, or you're not judging, as he was saying it, the wish. The wish, like when you wish you didn't have the wish,
When you wish you didn't have the wish, you double dose sin.
Exactly. This is all what we're doing. We had the tiny mad idea and then we judged it. And this is all that is re-happening and is being recycled almost every second here, to some extent, of course. And so, willing for seeing all of the judgment, or the beliefs, the way I've been asking Spirit, like in this week, I mean, it's been 3 weeks now that I've been looking at the beliefs themselves. Show me the beliefs, and I'll try not to judge them. When I do that, it works, and then at some point, I might feel some panic coming up, because the ego absolutely hates it. Why? Because the ego is in danger of his life. The life, so-called, of the ego is in danger right now when I do that. When I don't judge the judgments anymore, the ego panics. So this is why the effects will be great and are great and will continue to be great, by the way. But that's why. But this is, we are really putting the light of our awareness on the foundation of individuality. Since it doesn't exist, it's going to create a lot of waves.
Yeah. So again, I'm going to read that paragraph one more time, and then we'll move forward. Holy Spirit said, you are letting go of judgment when you drop from the thoughts to the feelings. You are no longer allowing thoughts to generate feelings through believing them, and you are experiencing, without judgment, the effects of past beliefs.